My Music. A panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Shryan. Your chairman, Steve Race.
Thank you. I'm back at my alma mum, in other words, the Royal Academy of Music in Marylebone Road, London. Answering my questions, as always, my four colleagues, John Amos and Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. While sitting on my left hand, charming thought, our delightful scorer, Leonie Lawson. John Amos, a 20th century poser for you. What begins like this? Continues like this. And ends like this.
Rhapsody in Blue, Ravel Piano Concerto, and An American in Paris.
Absolutely right, yes. Absolutely right, yes. But I think they do sound rather like the same piece, don't
crafty
they?
Crafty question.
In many
question.
Ways.
Right.
Well, yes, crafty answer gets you a good mark. Right. Frank, let's see if you can place this big, lush orchestral sound. Do you know what it is, Frank?
It's in Bernard Miles on the Port Bow again. It's very familiar, in fact. It's the introductory music to a thing that Dennis and I wrote about 30 years ago for Peter Sellers called Balham Gateway to the South.
Yes, that's right. The very next sound.
We didn't write the music, we wrote the piece.
Good Lord, well, congratulations.
Thank you very much,
John. My favourite.
I think Ron suit isn't bad,
I never knew. Oh, shut up. Now I know you don't mean it.
Well, folks, that's the end of the programme.
Bye.
No, Ron Goodwin wrote the music. Very good, too. And then it was Frank and Dennis's Balham Gateway to the South, yes. Ian, familiar music. Oh, so familiar, but what is it?
Yes, I think I do, because I think a very long time, but about the same time that Frank and Dennis were writing Balham Gateway to the North in what used to be the Camden studio of the BBC, and alas, no longer a BBC studio, we used to do studio operas. Mm. And I think we did this one because I think it was called Mignon.
That's right. Do you know the composer?
Thomas.
Ambroise Thomas. Yes, Mignon overture. Very balletic, very danceable.
We used to do the operas live and we had to do two performances. No, none of your recording lot. We did one and then two or three days later we came and did a second performance. And we were even more nervous the second time than we were the first.
Good training, too, for that matter, yes. But I think of that as ballet music, really. I'm still chuckling to myself over a letter I had from Miss Dixon of Great Shelford, Cambridge, with a local paper report about a church garden fete. In the evening, Miss So-and-so gave a graceful display of maypole dancing. I don't think it's possible, is it? Can one lady do a maypole dance?
Do you remember it out?
You can't do it.
Timothy Shy of the News Chronicle, we're diving into 30 years ago, who once wrote a little verse that went, "Round the maypole dances Miss Prism, little knowing its symbolism."
That's sweet, yes. Right, different kind of music. Dennis, listen. Dennis, Rodgers and Hammerstein called that one of their trunk songs. Why the name? Trunk songs.
I think trunk song was a song that a lot of American composers used because if a song didn't succeed in one show, they would put it in the trunk and then haul
That's
it out
right.
again.
For
I
what happened
know
with that one. Yeah.
Did it really?
Yes,
yeah.
It was in Oklahoma. They tried it out in Oklahoma as a real nice hayride and then fished it out again for clam bake for Carousel. This was a real nice clam bake.
I know that Younger Than Springtime was written about 2 years before it went into South Pacific.
Yeah. Fed into South
the
Pacific.
The theme of War at Sea was in Me and Juliet, wasn't it?
Oh, yes.
Victory
at Sea.
The
tango.
No Other Love. Yes. That's a little bit. That's using a good tune twice rather than fishing it out and trying to sell it the second time. But it's similar.
Yeah, and There's a Small Hotel. Yeah. Was originally I Love You Today More Than Yesterday.
Yes.
And they definitely improved the lyric on
the
that.
Unforgettable one for me was Irving Berlin, who had a terrible song that he couldn't sell anybody that went, smile and show your dimple, it's really very simple. And it became, of course, Easter Parade. Right, change of subject, change of music. John, a deliciously musical vocal sound.
I think it's Emma Kirkby, isn't it?
It is Emma Kirkby, yes.
And a little time ago, you shot a question at me, and you said, don't you think that girl's voice is absolutely marvellous and superb? And I said, no, rather churlishly, because I really believe that. I found it a little lacking in overtones. But I think either something's happened to me or something's happened to her.
Yeah.
Because I heard her do the Monteverdi Vespers at the Proms last year, and I was enchanted.
I think something's happened to you.
But John. She did actually say, I think, in a broadcast, that her voice has grown and got warmer.
Flowered, yes, indeed. Emma Kirkby it was. Frank, for you, the same singer.
The dark is mighty night, so is the nightingale. My music's in the night,
a song by our prolific friend Anon, Frank, or perhaps by his great rival Trad. Ah, but what's the difference? What distinguishes Anon from Trad?
Almost everything, isn't it? Anon means without a name, so we don't know who wrote
wanting it. Wanting a name, without name of author, whereas traditional.
Traditional means it's Anon is to do with who wrote it, and traditional is the content.
Yes.
Which is part of the growing structure of whatever you're talking
handed
about.
Handed down orally, transmitted from generation to generation, yes. Ian, an aria that perhaps you don't know by a composer you most certainly do. Composer?
Steve, your instinct is uncanny in this matter because I certainly don't know that. But from certain little hints in the texture of the music, I would say it is our old friend George Frideric Handel.
It is indeed. You've never been called upon to sing Calliope's Song from Alceste, have you? So that's
no, I haven't. And I live in hopes that I never will.
Don't hang about, as we say. Right. Dennis.
Hither, hither,
You've no idea what I'm going to ask you, have you?
Well, I'll tell you, if it's more difficult than does the 28 bus go past, then...
I'll tell you, that music comes from Purcell's Don Quixote. You know who wrote the original story to that. Who played the Don in film versions? Many to choose from 1909 onwards.
Well, I think the most recent one I can remember is Peter O'Toole played Don Quixote and James Coco as Sancho Panza.
Yes, that's right. Who played Sancho Panza to Chaliapin's Don?
George Robey.
That's right.
Also, 1933.
Yeah, Rex Harrison did it for television. Nureyev. Orson Welles, the version I think not yet shown. Right. One or two keyboard matters to be settled. John, I quote from a Daily Telegraph reviewer, Michelangeli has a penchant for LBR. Can you interpret that?
LBR.
LBR, yes. LBR.
It's leg before something, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, it isn't, actually. LBR.
Leg before Ravel? No, I...
Yeah. Shall I give you an... I'll play you on the piano an example of LBR.
Okay.
Right.
Well, he's spreading himself a bit, isn't he?
Left before...
Left before
right.
What I call the gadoing gadoing.
Yes, a bad habit shared by many.
It used to be done in the old days, didn't it? Paderewski was the worst.
Yes, that's right.
He must have been playing the Ravel concerto.
Even Earl Wilde does it a bit, yes.
Was he playing the Ravel concerto?
Was who playing the Ravel concerto?
Michelangelo.
Oh, I don't know. I'd forget what the occasion was.
That's the piece he does it in.
Right.
The Liberace gets them together.
Eventually. Frank, this musical passage was written with the left hand deliberately before the right.
Oh, good.
What is it?
I was remember Bud Flanagan saying that wonderful this composer Grieg writing all that stuff and running all those grocery shops.
And a pretty good batsman as well.
I know, yeah. The piano concerto.
Yes, the Greek piano concerto, that's right, comes from there. Ian, five notes from me and then two titles from you, please.
I think you'll only get one title out of me for that. But that's Ave Maria.
Gounod wrote the tune. Ave Maria, over the top of the first prelude of Bach's 48 Preludes and Fugues. What it is. A half
Thank
mark,
you.
I think. Right. Dennis, no right hand at all, just the left hand. So, I put it wrong. Do you know what it is?
Half a tune.
Named after a famous boogie-woogie pianist.
Is it? No, I can't think of it.
Yancey Special.
Oh, yeah, Jimmy Yancey.
Yancey Special, named after Jimmy Yancey, yes.
Don't talk about piano players. Do you remember a band-leading piano player in America called Joe Reichman? Did you ever run across him?
He had a great stage band.
And he had his big thing on the stage show was he played Smoke Gets in Your Eyes, and he had a groove cut above the keyboard in which he had a special powder, and when he came to Smoke Gets in Your Eyes, they ran an electrical impulse through it, and smoke came up from the piano. And it was very effective as a stage show, and it worked terribly well until he was on a bill with the act that came after him had to kind of battle his way through the smoke, and it was a comedian who got fed up with it, so he took the powder out and substituted very, very cheap tobacco. So that Reichman finished up playing and coughing and spluttering.
He perished while playing the ritual fire dance, you know, manual the fire.
Swan Lake.
John, I wonder if you can supply the missing word from a music critic's review in the Times. This wondrous sonata which Schubert wrote for that musical dodo, the so-and-so, has to be played on something, and I would argue in favour of the viola rather than the cello. What was the musical dodo?
Well, it's an instrument not in general use.
Yes, that's right.
In this case, the arpeggio.
The arpeggione,
which is a kind of viola.
Yes. Well, let's taste a bar or two, played here, actually, on the cello. Yes, sonata in A minor for arpeggione and piano. Tortelier playing it there. Frank, whose autobiography is called I think charmingly, Never Sing Louder Than Lovely.
Mm. Oh, it's lovely, isn't it?
A sweet title, isn't it? Never Sing Louder Than Lovely.
It's either Won't You Come Home, Isabel Bailey.
Yes, it is.
It's Isabel Bailey. Yeah,
Isabel Bailey, yes. Of which a reminder, of whom a reminder, in a duet with Kathleen Ferrier. Ian, what sort of music do you get out of a geckophone?
Ha-ha. The music you get out of the geckophone, you would have a bit of a job to get now.
Yes.
We had a geckophone at home when I was a very small boy, and it was a crystal set. And you got children's hour at 5:15 of an evening with the geckophone doing this with the crystal, and you didn't get very much volume. And we were able to get this because we had a long aerial that stretched from the house to a big tree at the end of the garden, which was the sort of size of a tennis court, just. And there was one famous afternoon when my mother had three ladies in to play tennis just before 5:15. I was waiting to listen to children's hour when one of these ladies, by a million to one chance, hit the ball up and hit the aerial. And it went and parted company with the tree and snaked like a ship's hawser that had snapped round these ladies. And, of course, in those days it was smoke and pea soup fogs and their tennis dresses were all covered in black and the end of the game. But I wasn't bothered about that. What I was bothered about was absolutely no sign of children's hour coming through the geckophone that day, nor subsequently.
No, I'm sure. Well, I got the mention of the geckophone out of your autobiography where it's mentioned, so that's really a bit easy. Can I try this for your mark, Ian?
Mm?
Concert goer. Do not relax, you're still on. A concert goer named Le Sœur, after first hearing a certain symphony, said, I couldn't put on my hat because I couldn't find my head. Which work, Ian?
I'm going to put all my money on number 5.
Yes, that's right.
By old Ludwig van Beethoven.
Yes, on C minor. That's the wonderful part where it goes into C major. Dennis, it took over a year, said a recording artist of his or her new LP. I produced it myself because I didn't want to put out anything that wasn't perfect. Who said that?
I don't know, but I would think that anybody who thought that what they put out was perfect is practically by definition a second rater, because I think any great artist would have what I believe is called the divine dissatisfaction.
Well,
in a previous episode of this game, there was a thing about Tchaikovsky running down his own work. I think that's what a fine artist is more likely to do. So I would say it's, at a guess and with trepidation, because it'll probably turn out to be somebody wonderful, that it's a rather second-rate person.
Well, it's a very good LP of its type, and this is the type. Recognise the lady?
May I say, with all the sincerity I can muster, that it is perfect, and I sound phony.
It's Kate Bush.
Oh, good.
Her LP, The Dreaming. Let's have a quick check on some Shakespearean songs. John, who is Sylvia? Which play does that occur in? Who is Sylvia? What is she at all? Swains commend her. Frank can help you.
What's the title?
No.
12th.
No, not 12. Glorious. More like two, actually. More like two than 12. I have to tell you. Two gentlemen of Verona come from.
Is it?
Yeah. Did you say that? Mm. Frank, Hark the Lark. Which play is that from? One ought to know these, I feel. Well,
Hark the Lark one does know, in fact, because it's got a marvellously double entendre, a real bit of Shakespeare bawdy, which introduces it. Sir, what does that mean, sir? See me afterwards, I'll explain.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It comes from Cymbeline.
Cymbeline, she is always with her eyes of night. Cymbeline, a dance. Ian, tell me, where is Fancy Bread? Where will I find that?
Well, after the show, I can give you the name of a couple of good bakers, Steve.
Do you
but
have a
beyond
answer?
That, I'm not...
It's the casket scene.
Oh, I have a message from my left, which puts Merchant of Venice as a very likely contender.
Right. Dennis, sigh no more, ladies.
Men were deceivers ever.
Mm.
That's Much Ado About Nothing.
Much Ado, that's right. Well, now let me take you a buttonhole lower. I have to admit that I suggested these four songs to each of our four singers, so blame me, not them, if they're not to your taste. Frank first, singing about his ragtime gal.
It is to my taste, but I can't remember the tune. Yeah. It's a telephone song, when they just became fashionable, you see. So it's... hello, my baby, hello, my baby, hello, my ragtime gal. Send me a kiss by wire. Baby, my heart's on fire. If you refuse me, honey, you'll lose me, then you'll be left alone. Oh, baby, telephone and tell me I'm your own.
Well. I think we were cut off. For John, the lark in the clear air.
Dear thoughts are in my mind, and my soul soars enchanted as I hear the sweet lark sing in the clear air of the day. For a tender beaming smile to my hope has been granted, and tomorrow she shall hear all my fond heart would say. I shall tell her all my love, all my soul's adoration, and I think she will hear me and will not say me nay. It is this that gives my soul all its joyous elation as I hear the sweet lark sing in the clear air of the day.
Dennis has a song about marine life.
Yeah, I should warn you that the sheer majesty of the words may slightly obscure the tune.
A noise, an oyster. But a noisy noise, an oyster more. When the west wind whistles through the whiskers of a shrimp, the poor old oyster feels a trifle limp. He'll murder mussels if the seaweed rustles or a cockle croaks a chorus on the shore. But a noise, an oyster. And a noisy noise, an oyster more.
It may not be good, but I bet it's the first time it's been sung in the Royal Academy of Music.
Last two. Yeah. We come last to Ian, who allows himself to be persuaded to sing that lovely song, Laura, I think for the first time.
Laura is the face in the misty light, footsteps that you hear down the hall. The love that floats on a summer night that you can never quite recall. And you see Laura on the train that is passing through. Those eyes, how familiar they seem. She gave your very first kiss to you. That was Laura, but she's only a dream.
Laura, and you might like to know who's won this week. By a very tiny margin, it's John Amis and Frank Muir. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race and the program was produced by Pete Atkins.